And so many of the politicians who involved their city governments with these investments are right now trying to disguise the fact that these losses have even taken place, and they're trying to go on as business as usual, and a few of them are starting to say, well, we need more revenue here because our bills are exceeding our income and blah, blah, blah. But what's going to happen here is they're going to want to protect their own little nest egg and not admit to the fact that their city might be bankrupt. This happened back in the early 90s when derivatives first were introduced to a county in California called Orange County that got involved in the derivatives market, didn't know what they were doing, and the entire county went bankrupt. Now, what I'm saying to you right now, Mohammed, is that many places around the country, both municipal as well as private businesses that had investment funds involved in these subprime and other package deals, are going to start going belly up, and nobody is going to want to take the blame for it. And so what's going to happen here is that they're going to try anything they can do to clandestinely pawn off the responsibility anywhere they can. But it's not going to work, because what we're facing here is worldwide catastrophe financially for cities, local governments, individuals, companies, trusts in that have been set up, water systems, electric grids. Nothing is immune from this, is my point. And you're going to start seeing a cascading effect across all types of organizations that have monies, even 401k programs that people think they've got pensions coming to them. Finished, gone, disappeared. You want to start explaining the gravity and the enormity of this? I sent you to an incredible article about 12 points. Did you get to read that?
I didn't get an opportunity of that one, I'm afraid, Darryl, but what we're looking at here when we were discussing the financial implications of what we've been discussing going over into the motor industry and other types of lending, what we're also trying to explain to people is, you know, the entire financial system is under pressure and the insurance industry is now coming under pressure. Yes, there's an increase in payout for natural catastrophes, so premiums are going to go up. That's a genuine situation. Also, private companies that have got losses are taking cash savings from the piggy bank out from the insurance companies to cover their losses. We see the directors and senior management of companies that have been making wrong decisions. The litigation payouts last year to shareholders for bad decision making was at least $2 billion. That sets to keep increasing. Slowly but surely, more. And of course, what people have to realize is that when insurance companies pay out, they've got to pull that money back in. I go back to the horse racing analogy earlier. If you were a bookmaker, you'd change the odds. When you're in insurance, you have to change the premium because you can't change the number of people betting and the amount of payout is going up. Therefore, the premium has to go up. It's what we call inflation. We have here catastrophe inflation. We also had, if you remember this week now, something we discussed, friend Mr. Buffett going out and to reinsure three bond insurance companies.
Now let's set people up for this, because the very introduction of this story was a nonsense from the beginning. And let's talk about why it is. First of all, this guy wants to take the only assets worth having left in three major companies and hive them off into a company he's going to control, and then let the rest of these investments that have already gone bad and sink these companies into a bankruptcy, stick everybody with the load and with the bill, and go walking away, skipping down the road, saying that this is a package to save everybody, when it's in fact a way to steal off anything valuable out of these three underwriters, and then let the rest of the people who are over there in these three companies left holding the bag. And that's going to be the shareholders and people who need to get paid out from the disasters or from whatever other things that these people are involved in. And this guy instead is being lauded as a possible savior. What he's actually trying to do is fleece these people.
Absolutely, Darryl. It's quite amusing because it sort of really demonstrates the level of ignorance that the average person has about finance. What his offer is, he said he's going to reinsure, i.e. underwrite, reinsure what these reinsurance companies are doing, RE, we were just discussing earlier, $800 billion in municipal bonds. Now, you and I understand that, Darrell, and I hope a lot of the listeners do now. Municipal bonds are these small-town city bonds which are issued by the local government.
That's right, and usually they're for public works projects or water or sewer system or a new school or whatever like that.
That's right, and that means technically they're already well insured because they're paid for out of local taxes. There's a massive amount of insurance there. And he said, I'll give an extra level of insurance. And what we're saying is we don't need it on municipal bonds because they're underwritten by local government. You know, as long as they can tax people, they'll be able to keep paying it. The other stuff which is folding, it's not these we need insurance on. And then he goes on to say that the offer was made to these three companies that we discussed, oh, maybe 3 or 4 months ago now, Darrell, MBIA Limited, AMBAC, and FGIC. These were three out of the big five bond insurance companies. So as a reminder to everybody there, when we issue a bond, if we only get a triple B or a single A rating, we want to push that rating up so that we can save money on the coupons that we have to pay, the interest rate we have to pay on the bond.
Right, and we explained in the last show that a AAA-plus rated bond is going to get a 10-point over prime. A AAA is going to go 40. A AA is going to be maybe 80 or even one full point over prime. And down the lane all the way till you get to a junk status, which is ridiculous. But my point being is that once one of these shifts from one group to another, from a AAA plus to an A, I mean AAA or whatever, they are out of balance then, because then they have to have capital on their balance sheet to make sure that this basis point difference is going to be covered. Am I correct?
That's right. You and I, we decided to issue our own corporate bond. Got a triple B rating. We can't afford. We've looked at our business model, and we've said we can't afford two points over the prime rate, and we want to pay 1 point. So, based on the amount of money that it costs us to get insurance from MBIA or AMBAC, we insure them with guaranteed payment on the bond, and all of a sudden our credit status goes up, being a triple B to a double A, because we've got this fantastic insurance from these triple A insurance companies. All of those insurance companies have taken a hit. They're down to double A already. So what Mr. Buffett's doing is he's saying, hey, I'll come in and I'll throw some reinsurance on you guys to try and get your credit quality back up so you've got some status in the world and all the bonds that, because of course the bonds that they're underwriting have all slipped because they slipped, everything they've underwritten slipped. It's this cascading effect that you've been referring to. So this massive cascade, and Buffett's come in at the top and said, I'll insure all of that, I'll reinsure it. When we look closely, he's saying, I'll reinsure the stuff that's safe. We don't need that. And then, if that weren't enough, he's saying that what he'll also do is he'll take a lot of that off their hands and he'll swap a lot of these municipal bonds for bonds which he's holding. And what do they turn out to be? Our risky debt, collateralized debt obligations, the CDOs, these mortgage-backed, asset-backed securities, which have collapsed left, right, and center. He's actually saying, and it's some kind of Aladdin thing where it's new lamp for old. You know, he's saying, I'll give you all my old lamps, you give me your nice, shiny new ones. It's the biggest fiddle of an offer I've seen in a long time.
Well, it's a bait-and-switch situation, and not only will it leave the holders of the bond insurers, the owners of the stock in those companies holding nothing valuable, but it'll also allow him to hive off some of his bad debt into the pool. And here's the other problem that I just got done enunciating with the idea that municipalities are having a shrinking tax base. Now, you know, a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, Muhammad, is very technical and stuff, but everybody knows enough about paying taxes on their real estate that the base is calculated by how many people in the community live there and the valuation on their property and how much is needed to run the city, town, or municipality. Now, because subprime in some markets is so bad, 40,000 houses in Las Vegas alone are already in some sort of form of financial distress or bankruptcy or foreclosure, and growing. that their base to pay their bills is shrinking and shrinking demonstrably. And what we're seeing is that they're not getting the revenue stream that they need to pay their obligations. So no, their quality of their debt on their municipals is not sound. So not only is this a nonsense when this guy's trying to hive off his more serious problems on everybody, but the worst part about it is that even the stuff he's claiming is qualitative isn't anymore if you look at the numbers underneath.
Well, that's right, Dal. The ability of municipalities and towns to pay is diminishing, and what that means, of course, is we don't expect anything, one of two or maybe both things to occur. One is an increase in local taxation for the people who are still earning, and a decrease in spending so that they can spread it more thinly. I mean, that's always what happens. And they will have to do that to service the debts if they ever want to be able to borrow again.
Well, then that's right. But here's the interesting thing, Mohammed. At a time when need for governments to be generous to the poorest of their communities is largest, is when they're going to be least able to do it. And in fact, what you're going to see is a tax rate rise in your market, in your area, and you're going to see less services for that rise. And you're going to see more suffering, not less. And so the calamity here is just unfolding. It doesn't happen. It's almost like watching a slow-motion train wreck from where I sit. And knowing what I know about finance and about insurance and about all of these different elements, I'm watching this stuff happen before my eyes as though I'm watching a big high-speed train slowly moving into an intersection, hitting a series of buses filled with children. This is what I'm seeing. And the nightmare that's going to erupt when these things collide is awful. And I've never seen anything like it in my whole lifetime, and I don't think anybody else has either. And most people are not even aware of the depth of it, are they?
Well, of course not. When Buffett goes out like this and says he's prepared to reinsure the bond insurers, and everybody, oh, look at him, he's a white knight, he's turned up in shining armor to try and save people. When you actually read what he's doing, you understand that he's actually relying on the fact that they're going to continue to tax more, give less services to service these bonds, and these bonds are still better than the corporate because these people can at least, you know, seize your assets and sell your home or, you know, whatever, in order to keep their money coming in. So he's seeing that as a safer bet for the corporate stuff that he's got that's dumped on him, and he's trying to get rid of it. And this is a cynicism that's being sold to the world at large. He's a great guy, and it's entirely untrue. This is also the case in this instance. Maybe he's good in other things, I don't know, but certainly in this one he isn't. And in the meantime, we've got insurance companies claiming that their catastrophe payments last year are $75 billion because of the weather. And another thing about Munich Re, and this is quite scary, Darryl, this company that's just paid out $75 billion for bad weather to Sydney last year, guess who? What else Munich Re are famous for?
What?
Munich Re was the company that had insured the Twin Towers.
Ah. And that's Mr. Silverstein's best friend.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me either. And here's the interesting thing. When you take a look at, I mean, we've yet to dig through, unless you've done it over this last couple of hours. Did you get a list of anybody on the board of that company and who's sitting over there? Because that necessarily doesn't mean all that much, except to tell you the direction to start hunting for the truth.
Well, the fact that they are the company that had the Twin Towers insured 2 months before they blew over in a catastrophic weather event. It's hard, you know, when you see these things, just not to be cynical. You know, I don't mean to disrespect the enormous amount of suffering that came out from that particular event. You just cannot help see the cynicism in these people in what they're doing, Carl. You know, I mean, it is absolutely wicked.
It is wicked, and here's the other side of it. As we go forward here, it's the least able in our societies. And here in France, is all the problems. I'm watching them grow daily around me. I've told the people listening, and you've been on with me when I did it, to go out and buy wheat and flour and stuff. The rice, a bag of rice here, five kilo bag of rice, has gone from $5.40 up to $8.20 per bag in the last year. We're talking a 55% increase. This is just one item, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this is happening across the board. And people right now are trying to decide whether they pay their rent or eat. And this is happening to the poorest right now in big ways and going to start creeping into the middle class. And I can't believe I'm watching this happen in my lifetime. I'm shocked by it. And I want somebody to pay for this. I want someone to pay. I do.
Well, we'd certainly like somebody picking up the bill for this. In terms of the management board for Munich, Dave, we've got the chairman is Dr. Nicholas von Bornhard, which I don't think he obviously was under the influence. George Jaschner, he's the probably one of the major issues there, and Dr. John Flan was another one. But the fact of the matter is that this is me, which 2 months before the Twin Towers collapsed, took it on. And, of course, didn't fight the insurance claim, didn't fight back to say we're not happy about this element, the collapse of the towers, or that element of the collapse of the towers.
And even paid out a double payment saying that each plane was a separate incident so that they were able to double indemnitize the entire collapse and go from $3 billion up to $6 billion.
That's right. They didn't actually, although there was a slight disagreement in that matter, eventually they did, in fact, settle and make that payment. So somebody somewhere has clearly got this particular insurance company very firmly by the assets and knows how to squeeze them at the required result. And that's
everybody's thinking the biggest loss in financial history was Enron. Well, take a look at Munich Re's loss of $75
billion. Yeah, that's... that is actually the largest corporate loss all time of any corporation, and yet it didn't even make front page news anywhere.
No, it was an add-on in some insurance website. Okay. Well, now we're digging out the bad guys, because I've always said, Mohammed, that this whole thing, their power structure is based on money, because money is power in this world. Mm. And all of the rest of the stuff that people try to come out with is really smoke and mirrors. You know, there's a lot of fear-mongering going on out there in the alternative world, and they always say, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and they want everybody to run around as Chicken Little. And I keep saying, look, if you want to find the bad guys, you've got to follow the money, because money's power, and the power is in the hands of Zionist criminals. And in each instance, when I've done my due diligence, these are the same names, the same people, the same organizations, and the same crimes. Now, what you pointed out in previous shows, and I'm beginning to see more of this as evidence, their agenda has been accelerated on them, and the problems they're facing right now are coming at an untimely moment for them, and even they are in a situation where they're being caught out on many, many agreements that they've made and having serious problems. Evidence, the $75 billion payout to a company we can't even identify. So, and let's speculate here. Let's say it's either a Warburg or a Rothschild or one of their agents or one of their companies that doesn't have to report their losses, and they're just picking up their losses from this insurance reinsurer and sticking a public company with the bill.
Absolutely. A public company which is of their group. So the answer to that question, who it is, we need to be able to gain access to, which we don't have at the moment, but we shall attempt to get it. We need to understand the shareholding, and if any of the dedicated listeners out there can get us a breakdown of the shareholdings.
Well, if you've got LexisNexis, anybody out there in a university who can go to their research library in the university and ask for a 30-minute use of their LexisNexis research search engine.
We put in who this is anyway, just on the basis that this is the insurance firm that paid out on the Twin Towers and did not dispute what had gone on at all, but still sees it as a terrorist event and paid out accordingly. And as you pointed out, Daryl, paid out double what it was supposed to pay out. But obviously, when you think even though they did that, they still had $220+ billion at the start of last year. So they can afford to do that. They're very long in cash. But we need to understand who the major shareholders in that company are, and we need to understand how that influence is being wielded on the chairman. One assumes that it's not being done in the public meetings. So he's obviously being summoned to private meetings, and if we were to follow him around, we would soon see who's on the end of the phone telling him to do what.
Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up before we end up this discussion here is the recent ramping up of the Pakistan connection here. What we're seeing cropping up everywhere on all of these lying websites, the places where everybody tries to deceive and obfuscate, is that the ISI and Pakistan is the main player in the 9/11 attack, and of course, the de facto blame being placed upon Islam as the main progenitor of the entire crime. Now, what I'm trying to get everybody to understand here is that people like Sybil Edmonds, whether or not she was fed lies and now she's parroting them or was from the beginning meant to go out there and tell lies, I don't have the time nor really the interest to even figure it out. But I do know what she's parroting and what she's playing into the mainstream or even into the alternative is a lie. And that Islam and Pakistan was no more involved in that than Joe Blow down the street. We've got the culprits already sussed out, and it was the Israelis, and it was the elements within the British government as well as the American government that have been playing ball with world Zionism from the beginning. And this is what we found. And the ISI, while they have been always a part of the CIA's infrastructure, and they may, in fact, have found the patsies for this crime, they're not the perpetrators. And then, of course, but see, this will get you back, Mohammed, to saying that it's a Bin Laden deal. You know, Bin Laden did it. You know, nonsense. What do you think?
Well, the idea to blame the ISI is absolutely laughable. And the ISI, as you pointed out, Daryl, is a branch of the CIA. It was originally established by the CIA as the mechanism by which Bin Laden and his Mujahideen friends fought the Cold War on behalf of America in the famous taking guns to Afghanistan and the surface-to-air missiles, which the Mujahideen, as they were known then, who were friends of America and fighting the Cold War on behalf of America when the Muslims were great friends of America still, and prepared to give up their lives fighting against the Russian incursions into the rest of the world and form that line, which seemed like a worthy cause at the time. That has never, ever been controlled by the Pakistan government, although there is a reporting line into the Pakistan government to keep them informed of what they're going on. The instructions have always come from the states. And Bin Laden took instructions through that mechanism. So we can blame the ISI, but if we blame the ISI, we're actually putting the finger straight at the CIA.
And, well, of course, I mean, the CIA has always been a parroting and puppeting and working shoulder to shoulder, with the Mossad and with the Shin Bet and with the other known criminal groups within world Zionism, and from the beginning, and they've always worked together. Now, what we know also is that clandestine deals have always been made between the Mossad and Pakistan, the Mossad and India, and the Mossad and Iran even. The Rafsanjani group used to do some deals with the Israelis behind closed doors. In fact, the Iran-Contra will show you that Rafsanjani's group was actually getting spare parts directly from Israel for their air fleet during the 1980s. So if you guys don't, you know, look behind the curtain and see who Mr. Wizard is and what they're doing, you're gonna end up following some of these 9/11 lie groups, which is what they are, and they're gonna try to blame Pakistan. And what we've got to do is get the idea out there that Pakistan has absolutely nothing to do with the planning of this or the carrying out of this, short of providing possibly some of the dupes, the patsies they needed to make it look like an Islamic crime.
Well, of course, the interesting thing there about the names of the 19, Darrell, is I remember reading very clearly in the Sunday Telegraph, a couple of weeks after the main 9/11 event, the Sunday Telegraph had managed to interview personally their reporters, 8 or 9 of the dead people, and put their photographs in them and said, these guys are still alive. And you can go and get that back copy of the newspaper, one of the mainstream UK newspapers, and you'll see that they've been interviewed within 2 weeks afterwards. And one thing that they all had in common is that their passports had been stolen within the preceding 1 to 3 years.
Well, and not only that, Mohammed, you'll notice that when Afghanistan was being threatened, the Taliban's group was being threatened by the Northern Alliance. That Northern Alliance leader had gone off the reservation on the CIA and the Mossad, and of course they slipped in a cameraman over there with a gun inside his camera and blew the guy up because he wasn't playing the Mossad CIA game, and of course the events that followed that are where we are today with this Conoco executive slash president stolen president elect Karzai. And when you take a look at the whole way that this has been put together, it is a very flimsy story if you look at it in fact. And these guys, if we were able to get some traction out into the mainstream of how they put this lie together, it would seem as porous a truth as we see it to everybody. So that is a responsibility the listeners have to start dissecting this and sharing it with people, because truthfully, ladies and gentlemen, there are very few places on the Internet or in the news around the world that are sharing these kind of deep analyses of these events. Am I right?
Well, I would say, Darrell, that it's quite sad. You know, they have clearly tried to hijack the independent truth movement, and they've had some level of success with it. But the facts are still there. They can't actually remove the facts. And, you know, if people look into them, it's very, very clear. The reason that we've been able to explain to people about the financial meltdown is because we just stick to the facts. We're not into giving opinions. We can sometimes give opinion on where something may go or how far it may go. But on the whole, we just deal with the facts. And the facts on the ground are very clear. It's all unwound. It unwound more than 3 months ago. It didn't unwind today. It unwound previously. And for people listening, they've got to realize that some of these Zionists just lifted $75 billion. You know, Darrell, we have to wonder how big the actual loss was. If they had to pull $75 billion out of an insurance company, you can't help but wonder how much that financial institution had already lost internally and how much they've had to borrow from other places before calling on that one, because there's no government left. Remember we said 2 months ago, there's no other government windows to go to. They've stopped lending there. So they're resorting to these kinds of techniques now.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to get easier in the coming months. It's going to get more difficult. And we here at the French Connection need your help. We've seen an almost end stop in our help from you listeners. We had problems with our PayPal for a few days, actually about 5 or 6 days. It seems to be back up again, and we sure could use your help. I'm still trying.
Yes, I know.
Well, we're losing our connection, ladies and gentlemen. I'm getting a terrible echo in my ear here, and I'm sure Mohammed is not hearing very clearly either. I do want to let you all know that we are going to continue with our efforts here to investigate all of these things and bring you the facts. If you can help us, please do. if you don't have help for us, please take care of your families. This whole thing is going to get more and more complex and more dire for all of us as the weeks and months pass. And we're going to try to be there beside you to tell you the facts as we find them. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care of your families and be well. Bye-bye.